This is the podcast for passionate, sex-positive, and pervy people. Entertaining and informative discussions about the latest in sex and sexuality. From ethical non-monogamy to kink to dating and romance and everything in between. She is legendary syndicated talk show host and sex therapist Sue McGarvey. He is notoriously naughty international radio host John the Milkman Milky. This is Turned On with Sue and John.
Together again, it's Turned On with Sue and John. I'm John, she's Sue. Hi!
Podcast time. I love this time. It's like exciting. It's so exciting.
And I am really especially excited. Our listeners have really been engaging with us. The Kinky Confessional launched this past week. We have heard from some fun folks. I'm glad they're embracing this. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. Let's begin here, Sue. You want to talk about sex supplements that actually work?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of questions. You know, it used to be when I started, I started as a sex therapist, like I was just graduating and I was in my 20s and everything was working. And, you know, at each stage of my life, I find people reflect me, right? My ducklings tend to be, a lot of them are over 40. Let's just leave it at that. We're over 40 because I am over 40 now, but it's what actually works. If things are a little drier, if things are not, because everybody wants to go, they want the aphrodisiac. And, you know, it's not the different kinds of things. You can't take strawberries and up your sex arousal. There used to be something called horny goat weed, but you used to have to eat a bale of the damn stuff in order to have an impact, right? And they used to have the Spanish fly. I don't know if you know what Spanish fly is, but it's a poisonous beetle that inflames the urethra that, you know, brings urine out of the body and can give you like a 6-hour erection, but you can die from it because it's a poisonous beetle.
So I'd heard the term. I just didn't realize that it's actually a Spanish fly.
It's a Spanish beetle. So don't get to grind up beetle that will cause an inflammation and it will cause you to have an erection, but it's excruciating.
Yikes.
And you don't want it, but it's poisonous. So don't do that. So what is an aphrodisiac or what's a supplement that actually works? So they've been talking a lot about nitric oxide, which is so when you get turned on, your brain sends out a chemical called nitric oxide. It tells the blood to flow to your genitals, a penis, clitoris, whatever, they both get erect. And if you can up it, it actually does a lot of good for the body. So there are now supplements. They're actually made from watermelon rind. I know they apparently has the highest level of nitric oxide. Who knew? So they process it and it actually increases that. So nitric oxide being the thing that's, I've been talking about my new VitaFlux, right? The one from Hermesin that I love, that's now I put in all my tea and I'm almost out of. So I've actually ordered myself, paid the full retail price because I'm like, screw it. I want more of this. And
back the truck up over here, please.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Otherwise,
it's like, as I say to people, don't eat the coconut oil in my bathroom, you know, because I'm using it for my snatch. But what actually works, so upping the nitric oxide, there's a couple of, but if you're at the supplement store, look for it because that works. DHEA, I've talked about it before. You can buy it on Amazon.com, not Amazon.ca. And I don't know about Amazon.Australia or New Zealand or wherever else we're popular. But DHEA is it helps testosterone production and it's like a baby hormone. Arginine and carnitine both work to improve Viagra and improve symptoms of erections and blood flow. So women, like there are three kinds of sexual dysfunction for women, which is difficulty reaching orgasm. It's difficulty getting aroused or engorged and low desire. So low desire is a thing that, you know, the DHEA will help, but what, you know, arginine and carnitine and what they do for Viagra, if you give Viagra for women, they get puffy, they get engorged.
Okay.
They may not have increased desire. They may not have, and they're not going to have any different, you know, increase in an orgasm, but it makes us more engorged. It brings blood to our genitals, which is what you want to do. So
can I ask a very naive question?
Sure.
Okay. I've not heard of that before. It makes perfect sense when you say it, but I've certainly Hi, Pornhub guy here. I've seen pussy pumps in action. Is that a similar effect to that?
Absolutely. And for people who don't reach orgasm easily, the clitoral hood pumps are fantastic.
Cool.
I had a woman who got a really expensive one. Like, don't get the cheap. Don't buy the really cheapest one. You're going to research it a little bit, get the good reviews, and buy a good one. You're going to spend more than $120 on it. And it's the pumps. They bring blood to your genitals, and it's blood flowing against nerve endings that trigger orgasm. It causes engorgement. It causes the ability to reach orgasm and feel wet and aroused. It doesn't increase your desire. It's different with men and women. Men who get an erection want to use it. So the physical sensation helps trigger, you know, what's going on in your head, more so than for women. Women can be turned on in their head and not turn, and their body sort of slow to follow, and their body can be turned on, but their head is like, you know, beige. I want to paint the ceiling beige. So you, it's working on both of those. So DHEA helps with increased desire. Maca also helps with increased desire. It's most closely related. It's a supplement related to turnips and radishes, but it increases desire. So those do increase desire. Nitric oxide will increase desire and orgasms, and arginine and carnitine will improve the puffiness, like taking a Viagra. So, and it will improve the actual result of Viagra, either for men or women. So those are the five that actually work. If you want to get wet, try my VitaFlux. It's on by Promiscent. I always struggle with the name of that company, but it's supposed to be, you know, Tumens is the clinical word for erections.
We'll put a link to them in the show notes for this edition of Turned On with Sue and John.
Turned On with Sue and John. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and BlastTheRadio.com.
All right, we got to talk about the kinky confessional, Sue.
So much fun.
Brainchild of one pervert named, well, hi, me. Yeah. I was so excited that you were receptive to this, because I just, you know, I'm a big mental health advocate. And I know for me, and I know for a lot of people, a lot, and this is why I like being on this podcast, a lot of mental health issues center around our sex and sexuality and our desires and this fear that the things we like will be laughed at or ridiculed or will be made to feel, you know, like we're evil or twisted, etc. And that eats us up and we become very, very afraid and live in our heads. And that's not healthy. So we now have a place, the Kinky Confessional, where no matter what you're into, no matter what you're doing, you now can tell somebody. We'll read it on the show. You have the knowledge that somebody out there has heard about your thing, and it's completely anonymous. So if you go to turnedonpodcast.com, yeah, you can text the show, yeah, you can email the show, but if you go to turnedonpodcast.com, right beside where all of our podcast episodes are, there's now a little window. We're not asking for your phone number. We're not asking for your email address. We're not checking your IP address. It's just a window where you can fill in whatever you want to confess as it pertains to you and your sexuality. And boy, did we get responses.
And I'm granting you absolution. Yes, you know, Father John, yes, Pastor Sue, we're all going to, it's okay. It's okay. My children, we're all good. Yeah.
Why do I have to be the Catholic one?
I don't know.
Oh,
because I think
man.
Catholic.
I fought for years against that. Anyway, okay. Off to the kinky confessional we go. Oh, by the way, let's begin with this one. I knew this would happen. It's an invitation for the perverts, right? So,
let me talk about how I'm in like skanky red lingerie, not in my jeans and my long sleeve sweater. No, that I'm in a push-up bra.
And, she totally is, know, by the way, listener. She absolutely is gorgeous.
Yeah,
stunning.
stay up pantyhose and stilettos. That everybody who knows me knows that the stilettos is absolutely wrong. There's no way I'm actually in running shoes, but it's okay. I'm in red lingerie.
Well, maybe he's talking about me. Look at my red stilettos here in the studio.
I see them.
There you go. Have a little playtime here. Anyway, okay, let's get the perv out of the way. Okay, you want to be a pervert? Fine. This is the place to do it. I have to confess, I just came all over my tummy while visualizing you naked, and you were so wet before I could pull out and come on your belly. I blow a throbbing cream pie in your glistening pussy and watch it run down your thighs.
Well, obviously, you know, it's quite an image.
Not quite what we were looking for on the confessional, but
written.
Yeah,
it's actually not badly written.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Not we weren't looking for people to get off on the podcast. If you are, hey, that's great. You've confessed it. We're cool with that. All right, kinky confession number one that we received. Hi, guys. I love the podcast and especially love the confession idea. I need to confess that I run a group of car dealerships. I'm a 49-year-old male, and every morning before I go to work, my wife puts a butt plug in me, and I love it.
It's like the confession we had last week where she was a naughty girl and she wanted to be gangbanged by a whole bunch of guys, yeah. Right? Remember that one? Yeah, yeah. I know. We had all these like, really?
And you got another letter similar to that. I like nice guys, but I love rough sex.
Yeah, she went on and on about it and said, and then it turned into a question going, Sue, how do I manage this? I loved the quote, I like a nice guy in the streets, but a rough guy between the sheets. And that's really hard for a lot of guys who are especially, you know, involved in the Me Too movement are worried that it's going to be abuse. And some women that would not be okay. I told you last time I have a girlfriend who uses a electric toothbrush as her vibrator because it needs to be so gentle and light. And I'm like, but for a lot of other women, rough sex. Yeah. You know, like, again, I want to kickstart my vibrator. So rough sex doesn't scare me at all. But how do you do it? And, you know, she went on to say she doesn't want BDSM rough, you know, doesn't want it to be, you know, out of a Pornhub episode, but not gentle. And I think that need to be heard and to be able to say they might not be comfortable, you know. And so if you haven't had sex with somebody for a while, you're not comfortable telling a relative stranger, you know, how you want it. Like, and so what was interesting about this letter was that she was kicking out the guys because they weren't that rough. So before you could really tell them, I want it hard, fast, and often, she's like, oh, they're too gentle. I don't want them. The sex doesn't line up. But maybe it could. Like, most of the guys I know are totally open to trying it any way you want. They just want you to touch it. They just want to participate. And if you want it any way, you know, if it's really rough, like I once had a woman came to see me clinically and she showed me this, like the sores. She wanted barbecue skewers through her nipples. Like, okay. Showed me the, like, I'm like, you know, I was like, holy smoke. She like, you know, needles and she was a pain slut. So there are guys and I was like, holy smokes. I couldn't be in a situation with you. And I can see why your partners can't be because it's really extreme, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, I want you to pull on my hair. I want you to bend me over. I want you to grab me. I want you to tie me up. I want you to take me up against the wall. Like, that's hot. And for a lot of women, especially sex positive women who are listening to this, I'm sure they're biting their lip right now because that's exciting to them.
But it's all in the training, isn't it, though? On you know, the interaction with your partner and, okay, it's romantic and it's soft. And like you said, you know, this is a new situation, perhaps, and the Me Too movement and guys in their heads are kind of afraid. But the minute that you tell them, you just, you know, you just sort of stop in the moment and just look at them and go, fuck me harder, spank me, etc. Now you're opening up the lines of communication. Now you're figuring each other out. And it evolves from one romp to the next romp and so on and so forth.
All of that. And the idea is that they're never prioritizing their own pleasure. You know, the rule is you never do something you really don't want to do, but you always try and please your partner. But you want to talk about your true desires before it all gets sideways, right? You really do. Because if you're not talking about your true desires, you're slamming the door on your own pleasure. So don't kick them out, you know, before that you've told them, dude, take me. Like, you know, do you not have, you know, fantasies about that? Like, let's do it. And if you really don't, if you're really submissive, probably not a good fit. But if they are at all alpha, bring it on, big boy.
See, that living inside your head is exactly why we launched the Kinky Confessional. One more for this week, Sue. This person writes, I have always been unbelievably turned on by the idea of being a slut and having multiple partners. I'm a single and attractive 40-year-old, and about a year ago, I went to a swingers club with a partner and fell in love with the exhibition and participation opportunities. I now go once a month as a unicorn and love the way that couples and men flock to me, one after another. I come to the thought of the feeling of being sought after like that for weeks afterwards, especially by men there with other women. Recently, on a work trip to Spain, I went to a club solo and could not even understand what men were saying to me as they fucked me. protected, of course, and I loved it. They say. Yeah. Thanks for the confession.
Quick,
love
quick
the
story.
Show.
First time I was in Desire, back when Desire had a place in Los Cabos. We're going to Los Cabos. If you're interested in coming to Los Cabos, send me a note, sue@texasu.com. What they did, what this woman did, was she basically had a pile of condoms beside her. Her husband was having drinks at the bar. She was on a bed by the pool, and she said, anybody, bring them all on. So she was doing one after the other, after the other, after the other. People are sitting around talking
like
in the hot tub.
Marathon. Woohoo.
I know. And it was really interesting. The women couples were having a really hard time with it because it was, you know, this is a decade ago, but it was jaw dropping to see, I don't know how she sat, you know, later on, but she was just one after the other, after the other, after the other. And for some, that was her fantasy. That was it. That was what she wanted to do by the pool publicly, all comers, literally.
What would you like to confess? The Kinky Confessional is on our website, turnedonpodcast.com.
More of Turned On with Sue and John coming up.
Guys, let's talk girth enhancement and penis enlargement. Introducing Fallowfill, the non-surgical penile treatment.
My name is William Moore, and I developed the Fallowfill male enhancement procedure, and I have pioneered the use of hyaluronic acid dermal fillers for penile girth enhancement. Fallowfill is the first non-surgical procedure to be recognized by the American Urological Association and the North America Sexual Medicine Society. Our procedure is safe, 100% reversible, and offers a true, undetectable, reliable, aesthetically pleasing result.
Fallowfill has treatment locations across the continent, Continental USA, and in Montreal.
We increase girth in both the flaccid and the erect state, which will help you show better and perform better. The procedure is performed in office under local anesthesia and is about 20 minutes.
Read more online at fallowfill.com. That's fallowfill.com.
If you are suffering from social and psychological effects of having the perception of a small penis, we are here to help you.
Tell them you heard this ad on Turned On with Sue and John and receive a free counseling session with Sue McGarvey on what to expect and how to improve your performance with a new, thicker, larger penis. Fallowfill, the non-surgical penile treatment. Fallowfill.com.
Turned On with Sue and John.
Every week before we do the show, Sue sends me her bullet points of things she wants to address. I'm laughing my ass off at this one because the first time I ever went and met with another couple about the opportunity to discuss potentially swinging, he advised me to bring goggles because his wife is a squirter. So I did, just to kind of break the ice. But you want to talk about beer goggles research.
Beer goggles research. Everybody knows beer goggles is that, you know, that you look a lot more attractive at 1 a.m. than you do at 10 at night before everybody's had a lot to drink.
Okay, so we're talking different goggles then than the ones
we're talking different kinds of goggles. Right. This is not bring a snorkel because she's going to, you know, going to cover you in a liter of fluid.
Fair enough. All right.
This is beer goggles from having drank too much.
They distort things. Yes, got it.
Right. So there was a study from Stanford that said, you know, drinking increases, you know, does it increase the appeal of facial features and the symmetry of facial features and make people look more attractive. Mm. So by the end of the night, are you more likely to do that? And there was some sensitivity. They did that, you know, that they are less enhanced about what people look like, but it turns out that either drunk or sober, you still like your type. All that alcohol does is an amplifier, and it will make things, it'll cut the inhibitions, but you still find who you find attractive, attractive.
Interesting.
No matter how staggering drunk you are. But the truth is that you will, you know, people's features are softened, maybe they're blurry by then, and you know, it's any port in a storm. But the truth is that they're more likely to take you home because you will look more attractive, which, you know, and then the other part is, you know, the sort of the walk of shame the next morning. And none of us look that attractive when we've got mascara halfway down our face.
I sure don't.
Yeah. And our hair's all a mess. And we're just, you're like, you will look over and you're like, what did I do? But the idea is that you're able to try it, and people still do, right? Men are trying to, if you believe in evolutionary biology, and I do, spread their seed far and wide, and women want to feel, and they women often want a opportunity to feel like they can do that. Like they can just, all right, I'm jumping in. This is what I'm doing. And it gives them an excuse. because they've had too much to drink and it got carried away in the moment. But the truth is that women are as horny as guys. We just manifest it differently.
Turned On with Sue and John. Online at turnedonpodcast.com.
All right, we have the kinky confessional, but I have to confess, I saw FOMO and had to ask Sue, what the hell does that mean? Fear of missing out. Okay, and how it leads to sexual competitiveness.
Yes. FOMO, fear of missing out, is so powerful for some people. It's that idea that, you know, they missed out. And it's an evolutionary technique that it's longing for higher status. It is this idea that you are, you know, getting the missing out and being part of that helps to know what's going on socially and compete for limited resources. At least that's what the study said. So what it is about how fear of missing out affects sexual competitiveness and sexual dynamics, right? So that you are more likely, if you are somebody who has that high FOMO, if you hate missing out on something, you are more likely to engage in multiple casual encounters. You want to be the person in the know. You would feel awful about the chances you didn't take rather than, you know, having bad things happen the next morning because you've looked at them and went, ah, but you really want that. So people with heightened FOMO engage in sexual competition. They also will tend to put down their rivals. So if you have a guy who's out there doing stuff and wanting, you know, sometimes you think, all right, they're just out there to prove it, or as they call them at Hedo, bed notchers, you know, just guys who want to just make their list.
Sure.
Yeah. When I was at Secrets, I met one of those guys, and he just went on and on about his prowess and wanted to be part of everything. And he was a good looking guy, but the process of, you know, just wanting to be part of everything made it less attractive, but it was so important for him.
Yeah, but it obviously works because he's notching that bedpost. Why does that work?
I know. They want it. The person with the most toys dies and the person who's banged the most women wins before they die. Right. He put down rivals, and I saw it in action. You know, social media is also a powerful sexual driving force, right? You see people, you know, with the arms around, and if you are a woman and you see a guy surrounded by other women in a dating ad, makes you more attractive because other women are giving you like basically giving that guy a social check mark, and women are more likely to sleep with him if got a picture surrounded by women than a woman surrounded by men. Men don't like that.
Sure. He's already been vetted.
Yes. He's already been vetted. So that is a powerful, you know, social driving force. And for that idea, so if you've got somebody who hates being left out, they have that fear of FOMO, maybe, you know, struggling, maybe far more sexually promiscuous than you think. Or even if you are one of those people, be aware of that if your need to just conquer is not really what you want, it's this fear of missing out.
Of Turned On with Sue and John coming up.
Warm tropical breezes, magical nights, swimming topless in your own swim-up pool room. You've heard about it. You've thought about it. Now it's time to dip a toe into the truly sultry, sensuous, sexy experience that is Temptations Resorts. It's astounding. Adult only, topless. It's a magical place in the brand new resort in the Dominican Republic near Punta Cana. And I have a special deal. Put in 24 with Sue and get free ground transportation to and from the airport both ways and an incredible price just for listeners. Go to temptation-experience.com. Check on Temptations Mishis. Put in the 24 with Sue code and your dates, and you're away. You'll be transported to someplace truly magical. That's temptation-experience.com and 24 with Sue. It's time.
Every episode of Turned On with Sue and John is available for you at turnedonpodcast.com. You can also contact the show through our website, and we now have the Kinky Confessional there for you as well. Plus, links to all of our sponsors. Thank you to our sponsors. All right, Sue, next up, the three tricks for getting out of your head for sex.
Ooh, I was hoping for something new and different, right? They talked about the first one being body positivity, that women especially are, you know, sort of anxious about sex because they're worried that their bodies aren't good enough. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that men will have sex with seat cushions and, you know, we women get all primped and they don't care. Well, you know, it doesn't really matter how, whether your legs are shaved or not, or if you, you know, have got a tan or not, or you're looking a little, you've got some stretch marks. Most men find beauty in all women. At least that's been my experience. But to understand body positivity and to go, I feel beautiful. You know, anytime I do a boudoir shoot, even with, you know, the first time I did it, I had to talk a woman off the ledge and tell her blonde jokes till she stopped crying. I did it recently. The woman was well over 350 pounds and not a tall girl.
Yep.
So, and she'd gotten this beautiful bustier and she had boobs that went on for miles. Like she could stop traffic with those breasts. and she had this great, this big smile and big eyes. So the photographer wisely sort of muted her and took these pictures of the boobs, the eyes, and the lips. And holy smokes, like she looked and felt beautiful.
I love, because I've done a number of boudoir shoots as a photographer, not as a model, just to clarify. But you're absolutely right. They are so empowering. You need to trust the person you're working with implicitly, of course. But that's a great place to start because it knocks down the fear when you just isolate something gorgeous, like their lips or their neckline. One of my favorite shots I ever did, again, a big, beautiful woman, voluptuous, and she was laying down, and I shot from the perspective of, like, I was, you know, sort of at the top of her head and shooting down her body, and just the way the pearls sat between her bust, and she looked at that, and she just instantly went, saw that beauty, that softness, and yeah, and from there, the entire experience of a boudoir shoot just became so empowering and titillating and exciting for her.
And hot. And,
yes! Do it.
So the idea of body positivity and finding something about yourself that, you know, body feature that you like and emphasizing it and trying to feel beautiful. Number two is having a pre-sex routine. I had a lot of clients that had to get out of their head. I talked about the sex candle before, which is a scent, but even a spray, you know, if you have an essential oil, that is your sex oil. Do you know what I mean? So if you smell it, you're like, oh, I'm starting to smell like I can get in the mood here. The idea of understanding what actually turns you on. So for me, it's all about the literotica. Like I go on the site or I pick up an erotic book. I have a whole collection of them. I have a bunch on my phone and I need new, but I have a constant stream and I get a subscription of interesting erotica and you can sort of fine tune it for you. So it does not take me very long. I can read three paragraphs and go, oh, I love that and it gets me out of my head. So sure. If I'm busy doing things, I find scent really works. The other thing for me, and I don't know if it works for other people, is I take a bath. Like sometimes there'll be days where I'll take two or three baths a day and they won't be long, but they'll be hot because it forces my head to stop. And we've been talking about how I can speed up on this podcast and I start talking really quickly and I can get all excited.
Okay. In fairness, we're both guilty of that though.
Yeah, but if I sit in a bathtub, I'm like, I'm going to slow down. I'm going to be clean, which means you want to pack a lunch and go down? Fine. Right, cause I'm spotlessly, scrupulously clean. I'm relaxed. I'm warm. And it allows me to do that transition from dealing with my mother or getting groceries to feeling like the sex maven I want to be. So understand, so I would brainstorm with your partner. Sit down and go, what turns you on? What things do you like for transitioning? How do you get out of your own head? Can you write and then put them on the fridge. And if your partner knows, it means I want a 5-minute foot massage. So your partner takes your feet. You may be a pretty good idea. It's going to help you get in the mood or your partner very smartly goes to Literotica, which is free, reads a story of things that they think you might be interested in, and while you're doing the dishes, starts reading aloud to you in the kitchen. All good suggestions for getting out of your head and getting into the moment where you can have sex.
I will never look at your refrigerator door the same, just so you know.
Turned On with Sue and John. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and BlastTheRadio.com.
We have breaking news on Turned On with Sue and John. A brand new male contraceptive pill. It's not out yet, but Sue has all the information right here, right now, on Turned On with Sue and John.
Fantastic opening, babe.
Thanks, I'm here all week.
I know it'll be, they're in new trials for a male contraceptive pill. What it apparently does is it deletes the vitamin A out of the sperm. And if you have no vitamin A, the sperm can't function and they can't impregnate anybody. So they were trying different things, and they've long learned that vitamin A is one of those things. So if you're struggling with your fertility, up your vitamin A, number one. And number two is, if you want to not be get somebody knocked up, there you may be a good candidate. I'd be really interested to know, if you're a guy, would you try it? Like, if it's out, they're doing human trials right now. So they found out with mice that if they gave it to them, no baby mice, and they were fertile again after 6 weeks of discontinuing it.
Okay.
So it's not, yeah. Well, the pill, you know, you miss a day and you can get pregnant. So that's actually a better solution. 6 weeks is good. You know, an IUD, you want to wait at least 6 months after you get an IUD out. So it increases the lining of the, you know, of the wall of the uterus. But 6 weeks seems like a really good option. So we will let you know. I'm going to see if I can reach out to the pharmaceutical company and get more details. And we're going to be watching this. And if it comes out and we can get samples from your doctor, you may be an interesting thing. We're all about research here on Turned On with Sue and John.
And sharing the love, obviously. Yes. TurnedOnPodcast.com is our website. Past podcasts are there. Our sponsors are there. And the Kinky Confessional. We're so glad you love that.
Turned On with Sue and John.
Thank goodness for you, Sue McGarvey. This has been my biggest fear in life. I'm joking, but I'm also not. I think a lot of people do have that fear of just being that awkward person in any environment. Well, imagine being at an orgy and being the most awkward person. How do we avoid that?
There's a few things you can do to not be the most awkward person. I'm a big believer in bringing something for the hostess. If it's a club thing, then talking to the owners and getting a tour and doing that and calming yourself down. You may want to do a little Zen-like thing, or have a slight, not a lot, a very slight amount of controlled substances to just manage your anxiety. You want to be able to be friendly and open and watch your body language, because it was interesting. I was even at a recent party, even at the party that you were DJing at, you know, you watched the guys with the arms crossed up against the wall being super not receptive, or a few women sitting there with their purses on their lap with their legs crossed in a chair, not receptive at all.
I see it. And you've trained me to be more aware of it too in those situations, right? Because these are singles parties. The idea behind your parties is it's a chance to mingle and interact. And then you see these people walking across a room where the music's playing, people are dancing, it's a good time, but they've got this scowl on their face. Yep. Or like you said, they're sitting here with their arms crossed, and it's the body language. So be aware
Absolutely.
Of that.
Absolutely. Be aware of that. So keeping with that, there was a great article about why women are leaving their boyfriends at home to attend female-only sex parties. Turns out that there is a lot of new female-only sex parties. It was interesting because in the UK, they have a few of them. And they have one called the Skirt Club and different ones in Ottawa. It's called Les Go. And they'll have 300 plus women at their New Year's Eve event on Queen Street. So I was like, I don't have events that are 300 people, but right. I guess all the lesbians in the city are in one place and one time. But the idea in some of the different lesbian ones is everybody needs a different level of alcohol to loosen up. You know, certainly I've seen it in the Canadian ones that you arrive at 8 o'clock, the sex doesn't get started until 11. Apparently in LA or New York, the sex starts at 8:05.
Yeah.
People come in and they're just like, I'm here. I'm down to fuck. That's what I'm here for. I don't need a whole lot of alcohol in order to do it. But it's this idea that, you know, if you're in LA, you're going to get done really, you know, get really quickly. But what was interesting about the female sex parties was that most members did not identify as lesbian. Most clientele have a husband or boyfriend at home. And she identifies, some people identify as bisexual. Other people just like sex and think women are beautiful and want to play with them, but hadn't explored their sexuality. And most women have a fantasy about being with other women at some point, right? The boyfriend at home, open relationship, completely fine with her going to a sex club. And before there was a sort of an organized sex club, they'd been hovering on the sidelines for a while. And how do you do that? How do you get to a point where you're feeling comfortable? So a lot of times, in order not to be awkward, and I'm bringing this back, is you start with a same sex. You know, if you're a dragon, meaning you're bisexual, you know, you can start with a same sex club because they tend not to be as daunting. You know, for the guys only, they're so, you know, like, let's go. Any of the saunas I hear about, it's just like, yeah, towels were wandering around you, me now. Like, there's just no preliminary stuff. It didn't matter. If you looked good and they wanted it, that's what you did. You just negotiated top, bottom, oral, you know, what do you want?
Right.
And for women, I find it much, much more interesting, much more relaxed. And so if you're in one of these cities, you know, even in our sort of conservative city, there is a lesbian party for New Year's Eve and they're, you know, well promoted. So there are places where you can have sex and be not the most awkward person at a sex club.
A subject very near and dear to your heart, your wacky little wonderful heart, is how we're going to end things in just a moment. But it is, as we record this, 5 days from Christmas. So if people are looking for a little excitement, a little stocking stuffer that will also stuff something else, have you got a few suggestions, Sue?
I do. I always do. And, it, you know, the challenge is going to get it delivered in time.
Yeah.
The one I really like, maybe you get it in time for New Year's, is the, oh my God, oh, it's called Connect. And they do a big O Connects, right? So I think it's hard to say, but it's the panty vibe from Eden Fantasy. Go to EdenFantasy.com. I really like it. $39.99. It's inexpensive, but powerful as fuck. It's the panty vibe is a thing. And it's been going on since they've had the old fashioned tickling panties I have a lot of women. I'm like, put it on as you get in your car and drive home. And then, and it's remote control. So your partner can turn it on by their app if they know you're leaving.
Love
send them a text you're
that.
Leaving. And their partner can be involved in that. And you're wet and you're aroused by the time you get home and you're ripping off your clothes because you've been having this toy. Don't let yourself climax. Get home and be like, I am ready to go. Let's go right now. So your partner's sort of pacing by the front door knowing you're coming home.
Because they've been in control of everything. They knew they were having some sort of, oh, that's so hot.
It is so hot.
Yeah.
So I certainly like that one. We talked about the hood pumps.
Yes.
And the clitoral pumps. I think those are a really great suggestion. You know, for guys, it's a tube and a hole, but you can get, they have one called an auto suck. It's German. And I love that there's a disclaimer inside and it's got a sleeve that's all squishy and warm. And then they've got these motors and wires and stuff around the sleeve that make it pull and torque and, you know, suction and whatever. And they say, important safety tip, do not forget the sleeves, because otherwise you'd have like wires and I know you'd be impaled. But it's a German one called the auto suck. Yeah, anyway, that one's good, but that and a clitoral hood piercing would be the three things that I think people need to try this Christmas. It's kind of the hot new products. Everybody's looking for new things, but what is really hot is couples, you know, interactive with the technology.
Yep.
The panty vibe, it's having a reconnaissance because it, you know, was around in the 80s and now it's back. And they're way, way more powerful and magnetic and amazing. And so I like the ones from EdenFantasy.com. And the other piece is the auto suck and the basically it's a pussy pump,
right?
You know, clitoral hood pump. So give it a try. Let us know how it goes. Do it in your kinky confessional at turnedonpodcast.com. It's Turned On with Sue and John.
As a matter of fact, we have a banner for our friends at Eden Fantasies on our website. So do click that. Again, turnedonpodcast.com.
More of Turned On with Sue and John coming up.
Hey, we know that not everyone is comfortable sharing intimate talks like this with their friends, but if you've got that friend who you think would really benefit from hearing something in this conversation, feel free to hit the share button. on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts.
Turned On with Sue and John.
The final conversation on this week's edition of Turned On with Sue and John begins like this.
Sex in space!
We are so dating ourselves. Yeah, yeah. Go check out some past Muppet episodes.
Space and sex is like, it's your favorite thing to talk about.
Crazy Florida man experiences. Well, but yeah. Sex in space is so good. So they wanted to test how people in Mars, because, you know, like, we've got all these billionaires trying to send people to outer space. And so they need to know what the sex, you know, and they're not doing nearly enough research. But anyway, what they did was they got, I guess, 60 people to be bedridden for 60 days. And they had them do sort of put their head down, have to be all do all their stuff sort of upside down and disoriented. And what happened? And it turns out that women lost far more muscle tone than men. And you're thinking, oh, that's not a problem. I don't know if you read that thing about Celine Dion this week, as she's having this muscle issue and she can't sing anymore because it's affecting her singing voice, which is a shame. But it can also affect your sex function. I had a guy who did one of those extreme diets, you know, where you're on 500 calories a day and you're having extreme weight loss, and you lose a lot of muscle tone. Well, he lost a lot of muscle tone in his pelvis and his penis, because his penis has muscle in it, and he couldn't get it up anymore. For women, it affects the muscles around the opening of the vagina, and you can't squeeze down and you end up with vaginal atrophy. So they need to do a lot more. If we're going to have babies in space, they need to do a lot more research that we can actually do it. So that was the thing. So important safety tip. You need to work on your muscles and you need to do your Kegels. Everybody squeeze, because you don't want to lose that muscle tone. And if you're, you know, I have a friend, one of my son's friends is astronaut Abby, and I follow her on Instagram, and she is like wanting to be an astronaut. So I'm going to tell her, yeah, do your Kegels, girl.
And we will end it there. Another edition of Turned On with Sue and John.
Thanks for tuning in and getting turned on with Sue and John. New episodes every week. To get in touch, find us online at turnedonpodcast.com. Until next time, stay naughty.